Morning. How are we? We all good? Great, great. So this morning we're going to be looking at one of the most significant days, I think, in the Bible, and that is the day of Pentecost. So we're going to be reading from Acts 2. So that's the place you need to be heading to in your Bibles. We're going to get there in a little bit, but that's where we're going. And the day of Pentecost was about when God sent his helper, the Holy Spirit, to assist us in our commission, which is to reach the lost. So I was, it's really important to pray in advance when you're preaching. So as I was praying, I really felt God put on my heart to say that this is not just a preach, like a theoretical or an academic preach. And actually, so today I'm going to be doing a brief look at the day of Pentecost, and then we're going to have lots of time at the end to wait on God, to worship, and to respond and to see what God wants to do in our lives today. Because as Jeff just said, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe this is a powerful today as it was back then. So it's really important that we give time to God to move. Because what I want to see us have today is just that God will powerfully impact on each of us, and that God's love will pour into us, and then we will be equipped, and then through this our expectations for 2016 will just raise so much. And not just our expectations, but our anticipation of what God can do and what we want to see God do in our lives will just raise. So that's where we're going today. And it's just so important that this day of Pentecost happened, because it was just literally the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on his people. And it was, we can look back in the Bible, I find that I can read back over the Bible and think, oh wow, that's great, 2,000 years ago, God, you did this and you worked in wonderful power back then. But actually, it is so true today that God is working in the same ways that he worked back then as he is today. Today people are prophesying, today people are seeing visions, having pictures, speaking in tongues. God is alive as much as he was and working back then as he is today. So this is, we're sort of a couple of weeks now into 2016, and it's a year full of brand new opportunities. So the challenge that I have for each of you is, when you reflect back on 2016 at the end of the year, do you want to say that this was a year that God really moved in your life, and then you saw how your heart was transformed, and you decided, you know what, God, 2016 was a year that I said I was all in, if you're not already. So we're going to read from Acts 2, verses 1 to 18. It's page 1093, if you've got it in the church Bibles, and it should be coming up on the screen, as I can see. So let's read. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Thyrea, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. What we read is a turning point in history when the disciples were equipped. They were transformed. They were jump-started for God. They are the vessels, like we are today, to communicate his story and his desire, which is to see people's lives transformed and changed and for them to know him. And at that moment, they were given the authority with which to deliver that message. So it's a before and an after moment at this point. And in verses 3 and 4, we read that this rabble from Galilee at this moment was supernaturally given the ability to speak multiple languages. They went from culturally being known as slow fishermen to linguistic experts in the space of like that. And it was nothing whatsoever that they did themselves. And all glory went to God, as everything that they were saying was just all to declare the wonders of God. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And this is just one example of them speaking in tongues, of how the Holy Spirit enabled them to do amazing things. And later on, we read all through the Bible about how the disciples went and performed other supernatural wonders, performed healings, prophecies, saw visions. And I want that for my life, and I'm excited for this in my life, and I hope you guys are excited for this in you, because if you believe in Jesus and you believe in what he has done, then this message is the same for you as it is for me, and you can do all of these things just as the Holy Spirit enabled them, because the Holy Spirit will enable you. So there's three things that I noticed when I was reading this, and these are three things that we're going to briefly look at. Number one was that there was Optimus Prime style transformation that went on in the hearts of these disciples. Optimus Prime's from Transformers. That is my link. Just, it's tenuous, but there we go. Secondly, people take notice when the Holy Spirit is about. And then the third thing is, the bar is now open and it is free today. So onto my tenuous link, I guess. Optimus Prime style transformation. For those of you who don't know, this is Optimus Prime. Most of the time in the films and the comics or TV shows, whatever, he is this sort of red truck. But actually, it's a 50-50, we could say, He's a truck, Colour doesn't necessarily matter, but he's a bit blue, flame red at times, he knows. So Optimus Prime is a truck of multiple colours. And but when the time arises in the films and the need is there, what happens is he transforms into this mighty warrior, and he then does a lot of good stuff in the films, from what you can say from the front. So the question here is, my tenuous link is pretty much just around transformation, but have you ever wondered why a lousy best mate of Jesus all of a sudden becomes bold and courageous in his faith. And for me, this is a real telling point in this story that completely demonstrates that a transformation has taken place. In verse 13, some people are trying to dismiss what is going on as Peter and his mates being drunk, which I struggle to believe, because if they're drunk coming up with, you know, speaking 13, 14 different languages, I'm not suggesting we should be drunk more often, but, you know, 13, 14 languages is amazing. So they're trying to, what they're trying to do at this moment is they're trying to curtail the momentum of what's happening and the situation that's going on right now. Because, like, there's people who are amazed and perplexed, and this is like one of those throwaway comments which is basically trying to nip this in the bud and say, you know what, they're just drunk. Those people are drunk. And we know that's not the case. But around 50 days ago, so before Pentecost, when Jesus had been arrested, there was an equally defining moment in Peter's life when he could have been bold, he could have been courageous, and he messed it up. He denied Jesus 3 times, and he didn't want to be associated with him. Now, at that point, he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. But now we see that there is this equally defining moment in his life. And this time, he is full of the Holy Spirit. And then what we read in verses 14 to 18 is that they make this comment, and then Peter straight away stands up. Complete difference to what happened 50 days ago. He stands up, and what's more, he addresses the crowd. He raises his voice, and he explains exactly what is going on. And then he goes on to say around what this means based on scripture that has been recorded by the prophet Joel. Now, I don't personally know how much Peter knew of the scriptures. You know, I mean, he spent time with Jesus, and Jesus would have knew the scriptures, but I don't know how much Peter would have learned, or whether this is almost a statement of the scriptures that he would have been aware of. But what I do know is that we've got a good God, and in these moments, God brings these things to the forefront of our minds so that we can share at the right time in the right way to people. And that wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit that God has now given to us. And from here, Peter's life absolutely snowballs in his faith. He goes from here, and he then, with the disciples, performs miracles, sees signs, sees wonders. He is the rock, becomes the rock on which Jesus built his church. Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood and he went. And even when things weren't going well for him, he still had that passion in his heart to be asking for the Spirit and to see these things happen. This is a verse from 2 Timothy 1:7 that I think really applies to me and applies to us when we think about the Spirit. And it says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And the challenge and the Peter moment in your life is going to be when friends and families, strangers are saying, "How is this possible? What is going on? What does this mean?" And then the strength and the courage and the boldness you'll get will be from the Holy Spirit, enabling you to share, to answer, and the wisdom will come to you guys, and you will be able to see hearts and lives transformed. The second thing that I really noticed when I was looking through this is that people take notice. And I think this is a key lesson from this story. When supernatural things happen, people kind of take notice. You know, if you're saying to your friends, I remember we were doing the Alpha table, and one of my mates came along who's not a Christian, and we were talking about the day of, I think it was at Alpha, about does God heal today? And Josh on our table was sharing about his arm, how his arm got healed. And all of a sudden, you see in my friend's face, you know, your arm was broke. I'm not sure what is going on. Now, whether they believe this is true or not, they're interested. And they'll start asking questions of, well, how is this possible? Because I have two options. Either, you know, so your arm wasn't broken in the first place, or God has done this, and I want to know which one it is. So people will take notice of what happens. And we read here that there were God-fearing Jews, so people who would have respect to God, but they were Jewish. And they hear the sound of the disciples proclaiming wonders in various languages, and they gather round. And I kind of find that we are just naturally curious, and people will just generally gather around when things are happening that you know you're not sure about. I mean, I've got a picture here of Covent Garden. Most people been to Covent Garden? Yeah, seen the street performers? You know, you're walking through Covent Garden because there's, you know, shopping parades or whatever. And there's some guy, I think Em and I once went on a ladder, I think, juggling knives. And, you know, you're walking past and you kind of, you know, you stop and you take notice because it's a bit weird, you know, seeing a guy on a ladder juggling knives. And obviously he's a street performer and he, you know, it's whatever. But you look around and lots of other people have stopped to take notice of what is going on. And that is the same as it was back then. People gathered to find out what was going on. And what we read, if you were to continue reading Acts 2, the Peter's address to the crowd, as you go through it, when it gets to verse 41, at the end of his address, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people were added. Because the Holy Spirit moves, people stop and take notice, and then you have this opportunity to share, and people have that opportunity to then respond in that situation. And 3,000 people were added that day. And like I said, that started from crowd gathering in bewilderment. Their bewilderment turns to utter amazement. Utter amazement starts turning to that questioning of, well, how is this possible? What does this mean? And then Peter is given the courage and the strength to stand up and address them and explain exactly what this means and what is going on. So for us, it's a case of when we wake up in the morning, let's ask God for miraculous signs. Let's ask God for his Holy Spirit to work in us, so that our friends will stop, they'll take notice, and they might start to ask questions, because when they start asking questions, they're interested, and that is an opportunity to share your faith with them and about how God has transformed your life. So that is the second thing that I really found interesting about this. And the third thing was this: the bar is now open and it is free. So maybe you are here this morning and you are full of the Holy Spirit. That is fantastic news. That is great. That's fantastic. Keep doing. Keep focusing on God and keep going. Maybe you're here this morning and you're almost in that desert place of, I need an outpouring. I need God to pour out in my life. Or maybe you have never experienced an outpouring in your life. Well, the great news is that the bar is now open and it's free and it's on tap for you. Because this is what Peter quoted from the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The bar is open, we can come and drink, and this promise can be fulfilled today as it was back then, and he's going to pour out his spirit on all people. There's no chosen few. The scripture says around, it goes through, you know, sons and daughters, young men, old men, and then it goes on to say about servants, because he's saying everyone can hear from God and can receive, because there is no chosen people. The bar is open to everyone. As I said earlier, today people are prophesying, people are having visions, people are seeing healings happen. So this is alive today as it was back then. And we are going to be really keen to see this. But there is a purpose to God's outpouring. This was the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before being taken up into heaven. This is in Acts 1, verse 8, just before the day of Pentecost. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. When we receive power from the Holy Spirit, it enables us to go and be his witnesses. So it is so important that we have a passion in our hearts to be filled, because by being filled, what that does is that transforms our hearts and that transforms our lives. And when we are transformed, people start to take notice. And when people start to take notice, they start to ask questions. And when people ask questions, we then have an opportunity to share our faith and the love that Jesus has shown us, and we can share that love to other people. And when that happens, people get saved, and numbers are added to, and it almost starts all over again. Because the first thing is, when we are filled, we are transformed. And that is the most important thing here. So let's be really passionate about being filled with his Holy Spirit, because it is so important for us. And when we're filled, we get excited. Oh, I get excited. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I get really excited. And I kind of think like, you know, God, I want to see you move in this area. I want to see you move in this area. I want to see, you know, the boys on my football team, I want to see their lives changed for you, Lord. I want to see my friends at work. I want to see this. I want to see this. I want to see this. And you start asking for bigger things and bigger things, because you want to see God move, because you have that excitement and that anticipation in your heart, because you know how powerful God is and how he can move. So let's really have an anticipation to do this and to desire this and have this within us. So that has been a very brief look, but I feel it's really important that we actually now give time God to move. Just wait. Give time God. God will do what God wants to do, and that is pretty much a given thing. So if the band come up, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to see what God wants to do this morning in this place. Father God, we love you so much. Father, we recognize that we can't do this without you. Father, it is your Holy Spirit that enables us to reach our friendship groups, to reach strangers. And Father, you have promised us that that day is today, that you will pour out your Spirit on us today. Father, we want to respond to this, Lord, and we want to say our hearts are open to you this morning. Lord, we want this to be a kickstart day for us and for 2016. Lord, I want my heart to be jump-started. I want my heart to be full of your Holy Spirit, Lord. So, Father, as we respond now in this time of just response, we want to ask that you will pour out your Spirit on this place in a powerful way. And Father, firstly, that our lives will be transformed. And from there, we will see other people's lives transformed too. Father, we ask you, pour out your Spirit here today. Yes. Amen.